Right, so now we have lishna achrida. In other words, it's another version of this medication. It's not the elo, that if some of the preceding things didn't work, then lysa shep silta bikro, then you take seven threads, or seven hairs, I guess, of an animal. Bikro is like bakar in Hebrew, okay? The shay flay bishcha, that's hachon. Then again, you know, you smear it with the oil of, you know, the, like the grain oil or something like that. But nice achad resha bedura, you take one and you put one end in the fire, the chad resha beudde, and the other end in the ear, the dish called chada, and when one gets used up, then you take another one, and the yistaha bezika, right? And you should be careful that there should be a draft.
Zika, a draft or a spark?
Zik. Over here it means more like a draft.
Draft,
but,
okay.
But you're right, that might possibly have the meaning of a spark. Could very well be. Yeah. Because, I'll tell you, the word zik also is used in reference like to seeing comets. Gemara Brochas. You see zikin, you know, among other
right, the little devilish things. Right. I'm not saying
things of nature, you know, right, that you don't ordinarily see, so you make a bracha. That's all right, of course, you might like Baruch Hashem Asik Bereshis or Shekhek Ruwasim Ochiyolom and so on and so on. You know, brachas that we recite for different things connected with unusual occurrences, okay? So maybe it does mean a spark over here.
Yeah,
it could very well mean
okay.
Matter, right. Right. Then he says the E lo but if not, then he says Lysa Gufto de Kanya Atika Barbeo Shadin says get a straw from a cane, you know, a cane, you know, it's a reed, okay? Excuse me. Which is old, you know how old? 100 years old. In other words, a very old one, right? The Lim Lache Milko Galal Nisa, he says, and you fill it with salt, which is Galal Nisa, in other words, I guess means very strong salt, okay? I guess they could have said kosher salt, I don't know. The Likle, and then you set it on fire, the Lidbach, and then you apply it, okay? So it says, we'll see Manach. So we finally have, how are you going to remember among the various choices, what is good? So he says, Retiva, the Abashto, he says, use one of the medications that we said before. If they are moist, if they are wet, use them for a baka which is dry, right? And on the other hand, the Abashto, the Retiva, use a dry remedy for something which is wet.
That's the dermatologist's credo today.
Yeah.
Really?
Right. Interesting.
It's wet, dry, and dry. Interesting.
Okay, I'll do a couple of more lines over here. Omar Rabba Bar Zutra, so Rabba Bar Zutra said, Omar Rabbi Chanina, and the name of Rabbi Chanina said, Malin was dying with Shabbos. What does it mean, Malin? It means you can raise ears on Shabbos. I guess if the ears droop or something, it's bad, so you're permitted to raise them on Shabbos. Apparently they thought, you know, that this could be a danger if you left it alone. Tony Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda told him, he said, by Yod, fine, you can do that, but by hand. of a low basav, but not to use any medication. Ikodiyamri, there are those who say, basav, use a medication of a low bayot, not with the head. I don't have to tell you, even today, doctors disagree, right? No, right. No, true. Jews in general don't agree. Right?
What are they speaking about? I don't mean to belabor this detail, but what do they mean by raising the ear? Well,
apparently, if you have something, I assume that for some reason or other, the ear bends over or something like that. So. And, it's caused by some physical condition or something, by an illness, so what do you do? I mean, of course, we're talking in all these cases about what can you heal? What kind of illnesses can you heal? And also, in some cases, the idea of Shabbos is also involved, okay? So, in this particular case, the question about Shabbos, because he says, Malu nos layim Shabbos, okay? And the question is, should it be by hand that you're trying to raise the ear, set it straight? I mean, maybe for some reason or other he fell and he banged it and something happened to the ear. So you want to try to set it before, it gets to bed. Right. Right. So I guess this must be the situation that they're talking about. So the disagreement is whether it should be done with medication or whether it should be done by hand. In any case, it says, "My Tama, for what reason do you attend to this?" Because it says, "Mazriv Zoriv." What is Mazriv Zoriv? What is Mazriv Zoriv? You have it written over there.
What?
Manually manipulated.
The
sinew
surely cause a wound.
All right.
Surely cause a wound. 39. The people assume that the malady was not severe enough to warrant treatment on the Shabbos.
Yeah. All right. Lord, I'm sorry. All right, I think I'll stop at this particular point. It's almost 9 o'clock. Okay, we are still, I would say, roughly about two-thirds of the way down. Chaf Ches, Amid Beis, Avodah Zarah. Yeah, and tonight is, of course, the 23rd of February, and we continue from where we left off last week. Okay. The first word on the line is going to be... Right. Yeah, Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. Okay? Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. That's where we start. Yeah. No, it's approximately 12 lines from the bottom. Yeah. All right. So Omar Rav to Rav Zutra Batuvi. Rav Zutra Batuvi said, "Omar Rav, the name of Rav, he says, Ayin Shemorda, Muto Lekochlo B'Shabbos." Okay. And now we're talking about an eye problem. Okay. Literally, an eye which became rebellious. In other words, the problem it swelled, it became swollen or infected or whatever it may be. So he says that it is permitted to use an ointment. This is what kohla means. Usually kohl is kohl, K-O-H-L. In other words, they use it for cosmetic purposes, okay? But here in this particular case, it means that you can smear an ointment on it on Shabbos. Okay? Sova mine, now in this connection, he says, Hanim ile hu deshach kesam el miyesmo. He was of the opinion that when could you do this? You could do this if you had already prepared the medication prior to Shabbos. literally the day before, okay? Abol b'shachay b'shadas, right? Not allowed to do it, you know, you're not allowed to prepare a medication on Shabbos, right? V'asuyei derech reshus harabim, and to go carry it in the reshus harabim, in the public domain, in the street, and so on. Lo, you're not allowed to do that. This was his opinion. So, in other words, if you had the medication prepared at home, and it's prepared there on Shabbos, you don't have to carry it out, then in that case you could use it. But to bring it from outside, he was of the opinion that you're not allowed to do it. Okay. So, Amalei Harum Rabbonon, one of the rabbis said unto him, for Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, and his name was Rabbi Yaakov, okay? He says, L'didi mifosha minei the Rav Yehuda. You know what? He says, I have an interpretation of this particular law from Rav Yehuda, who said, Afilu mishachek b'shabbos v'asuyi derech reshus harabim mutar, who says that it is permitted to compound the mixture that you need on Shabbos, right? And also you're permitted to carry it in the street. So, when, yes, as you know, she was a rabbi, Muta, right. Rav Yehuda, Shora, Lebichachal, Eino, Vishabbos. Alright, so Rav Yehuda, you know, gave permission, that's what Shora means, that you're permitted to, you know, put ointment on the eye on Shabbos. So Amaru Rav Shmuel by Yehuda. So Rav Shmuel by Yehuda said to him, he says, Man Sayusli Yehuda Machil Shavi, who is going to listen to Yehuda who is Machalil Shabbos? In other words, he spoke against the idea that was quoted. So the Sof, finally, you know what happened? Kosh B'yedeh, he himself had a bad eye, right, had soreness in his eyes. So Sholach Le, so what did he do? So he sent the message, Shori or Osir, right? Is it permitted or is it prohibited? Of course, we're talking about it was on Shabbos, obviously, that happened. Sholach Le, so he sent it back in answer. He says, L'chule al Shori, L'didach Osir, says. Everybody else, it is permitted for them to be Machalel Shabbos and to use this ointment. But for you, no. Alright. So now, he continues and he says, and you may think, you know, that I'm just being nasty about it. But in reality, I am reflecting a view that has already been expressed by great teachers before. This is what he says, V'chi mididihu, you think that this is my ruling? It really is the Mar Shmuel. He came from Shmuel. And how do we know? So now we have the story about what happened in Shmuel's household. It says, Ha'i Amso, there's a certain servant girl, the Havi Bay Mar Shmuel, all right, she, you know, stayed in Shmuel's house, right? In other words, you know, she worked for him, she was employed for him, okay?
Yeah,
did I see
Mar Shmuel,
so
it wasn't Rabbi Shmuel, it wasn't a rabbi.
I have Mar.
Huh?
My text says Mar.
Mar, right.
Yeah.
So Mar is mister, isn't it?
Yes, or master, if you wish.
Master.
Right,
oh,
right.
Wasn't he a rabbi?
Yes.
Oh, but they don't give him the title rabbi, they're giving him the title.
Oh, no, 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 but that's a title of respect over here.
Oh, it's a
title of respect,
oh,
right, okay. Yeah. We're not talking now in modern day terms that Mar means this. As a matter of fact, I mean, very often they don't say Mar at all, they say Adon very often. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't Babylonia have different than Palestine? They said he couldn't be a rabbi. Unless you were ordained in Palestine.
All right, that's a different story. This was a story about Smicha. Okay? Yeah. I mean, Smicha implied, you know, that you were ordained in Eretz Israel,
right,
by the Nasi, and you were permitted to adjudicate certain types of problems that would come up, okay? Whereas in Babylonia, they could serve as Dayonim and things like that and so on, but you know, certain privileges that, so to speak, belong to the court in Eretz Israel, they did not have in Babylonia.
Well, when they refer to Rabbi,
right,
they did Rabbi.
Yeah, right.
Poppy and all of them.
Right, right.
Papa.
Yeah.
So are these ordained smicha rabbis, or are they?
They're all, let's put it this way, whether they had formal ordination or not, they were great scholars, each and every one of them, okay? But the title Rabbi was reserved for those people who actually had received the official ordination from the Nasi in Eretz Israel, okay? In other words, the head of the academy in Eretz Israel, the main yeshiva head, okay? Whereas in Babylonia, they simply used the title Rav. So after the closure of the Mishnah, and, you know, the early generations that followed after that, then they reverted to the title of Rav, even in Eretz Israel. But this originally was the distinction between them. All right. So, obviously, Mar Shmuel, Mar Yehuda, and so on, I mean, they were Babylonian scholars. Okay? All right. So now he quotes the story of what happened in Shmuel, I mean, to show about what to do in case you have an eye problem on Shabbos, okay? So we said, Hahi Amso da Have Bar Shmuel, right? There was a certain servant girl who stayed at the house of Shmuel, Dekot Cholo Einu B'Shabbata, and her eye became like feverish on Shabbos. Kotcho means burnt, literally, okay? Zavcha, so she cried out, Veleko da Ashkachbo, but nobody paid any attention to her. Okay? Why didn't they pay any attention to her? Possibly the idea was that they thought that they might be violating Shabbos if they did anything to help her. This is probably what was involved over here. So Lamachar, the Fakmashmuel, so the following day, Marshmuel went out. He went, where did he go? He went to the yeshiva, right? The Dorash, and he gave the following decree, so to speak, the Dorash, in other words, he, you know, that it would be permitted. He says, and what did he say? He said, Ayin Shemordo Mutal Chochlo B'Shabbos. Okay? The eye becomes, as we said before, rebellious. In other words, there's a, you know, a great danger to the eye, then it is permitted to put salve or ointment or something, as you, whatever you want to say, on Shabbos. And now it says, "By Tamadu Shoyone." So, and what is the reason? Why? Because he says, "The Einor be Uvneso the Libot Tonum." He says because the eyesight actually is connected to the heart. Eyesight is connected to the heart. In other words, you have bad eyesight, it could lead to heart problems too. Okay? And, you know, the heart problem is already, this is something for which you have to take medication, whatever it may be, you know, even on Shabbos.
Right. All of which ends up in the circulatory system, which goes through the heart. So, I mean, there was.
Yeah, that's correct.
The infection of the eye would then spread throughout the body.
Right. Right. All right. Then. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. 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 Yeah. Yes, I think that they did know something. We mustn't discount their knowledge. I mean, they had practical experience. Right, exactly, right. So now he wants to give, he says this, says, Kagonmai says, for example, what kind of tsuras, what kind of eye problems can you notice? So Rav Yehuda, said, Kagon Riro. Rear means that it keeps on just running and running and running from the eye. That's one possible. Okay? Or maybe it's Ditsa. And Ditsa, we'll take a look at Rashi for a moment to see what he has to say about Ditsa. Ditsa. Yeah, keep going. Right. New, it says, Otefes Eno. Right? So it keeps on running. Ditsa, it says, Esponget, which means the Itzo Utachiva, which means, in other words, it's like a piercing in the eye. You feel as though, you know, it's like a piercing pain within the eye, right? Or another.
It comes with a certain kind of acute glaucoma attack.
Yeah, right. Yeah, could very well be, right. And the next one is Doma. Doma means, you know, of course, that blood may flow from the eye. Dimaso, excessive tearing. Okay. Vikitro, Dikitro means that, you know, you have like a fever, it burns or something, you feel burning in the eye. And then he puts in the following qualification, he says, Utachilas uchlo, lafukisof uchlo. Okay. In other words, he says, you can do these things when it becomes apparent, you know, that you have to do something in order to give relief to the eye. But once it settles down, then in that particular case, he says, you don't do any more, because then in his estimation, there'll be a violation of Shabbos to do it, you know, at the end of the healing process. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can you draw the inference that if you had one of these very, very severe things,
yeah,
these are very pretty severe, like a hemorrhage in the
right,
eye.
Right.
I mean, you're not just talking. You have a little bit too, but something very, very major going on, and unusual, and at the beginning of it, it's not an ongoing condition, but it's like the onset, it's a sudden onset. Can you infer from that that you would be life-threatening to the extent that you could seek medical attention and necessary go to a hospital or emergency room or something like that?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Right. They were talking about, I mean, as I say, he gave permission, but, you know, his permission was sort of conditional that as long as the danger was there, yes. But, you know, once you're on the way to recovery, it would be necessary. This is what he said.
You're not going there to check to see whether you're 20, 30, 20, 40. You're going there to retreat.
Right.
Something very, very serious.
Right.
It sounds pretty serious.
Yeah,
you know,
correct.
Even in today's terms.
Right. And as we said a few moments ago, because of this estimation, problems with the eye can lead directly to the heart itself. Yeah. Now you said, but suche eino to look. Right. Or just, I mean, to be able to see better. No. None of that. Okay. So, Omar Rav Yehuda. So as long as we're talking about Rav Yehuda, so he talks about a few other conkite, okay? It says, Zibura, what happens if you are stung by a wasp?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Udacharze. Yeah. Okay. All these different things can cause eye problems, okay? A wasp sting, the Chazei Silo, which means, again, I mean, that you get a pain in the eye, you know, an overwhelming pain in the eye, or the Chovlei, you know, or even, you know, your eye bothers you moderately, but nevertheless. The Yosei, Uliya Yishte, right? And says, you know, then you have fire, you know, like it becomes inflamed, right? This is Kulu Bei Bnei Sakanta Hema. So they all can be a dangerous situation, okay? Then he says the following. He says, Chama lechama. In other words, you treat fire with fire. In other words, warmth, where warmth is required. Okay? Vesilka letzina. And he says, when it comes to radishes or something like that, he says that already would be good for cold. So he says that the chilufei sakanta, if you mix them up, in other words, you do just the opposite, you can create dangers. Those situations that require cold should be treated with cold. Those situations that require heat, they should require heat. But he also mentions that you know, different vegetables are good. Before I said chama lechama, but the word chama itself over here, Rashi explains it differently than just, you know, warmth for warmth. He explains this as chama. He says tzenon yofel lecholi chama. He says that radishes are very good for people who are suffering from heat.
Fever.
In other words, eat radishes, it will cool you off, apparently. That's what he says. There is another version in the Rav Rendsburg where he says, it's one of these commentaries on the bottom over there, makes a little change. He reads it based on the Orach, that it's not chama, he says, but it's chasa. Okay. What is chasa? Chasa in modern Hebrew, I mean, we use for lettuce.
What?
Lettuce. Right. So, apparently he felt, you know, that lettuce was good for treating fever. And on the other hand, he says, beets are good for treating cold. I don't know, you want to try it? Because
I was thinking, I had a fever, and I was thinking, some people, radishes would not be something. I could see it for like a heat stroke.
Right.
Silka is beet?
Silka is like the Hebrew word selek. Selek is beets.
Yeah.
Boricus.
They don't tell you, should you cook
so,
them or...
Yeah, right. So it's with Alta Haim, I don't know. He says, Vechulufa Sakanta, mix them and do just the opposite and you're in danger. And then he gives a couple of more opposites. He says, Chani Me'eli Akrava, the Kareli Zibura. He says, if you get stung by a scorpion, then heat is good for you. Makes you feel better. Okay? If, on the other hand, you get stung by a wasp, then in that particular case, use a cold medication or compress or something like that, right? The chilufa sakanta. And to do just the opposite, to put you into danger, he says. Okay? Then he continues. He says, Hamime Litsilo Vikarile Lichaspanisa. So what is Khamime? Of course that means you should use warmth, right? For silo, it says. So Rashi explains, Sarach Lishris Habakabin, you should soak the wound or the sore in hot water, right? The Lord Abim Le'el Silo, Bebin Sankata, Hechid the Rockets called Gufe. So, in other words, wash that part of the body which is affected, right, with sores, in warm water. And on the other hand, when it comes to Chaspanta, which is the next page, okay, Choptes Amen Aleph, he says, these are, he says, Sedokim Shebefnei Ha'odom, which would mean that they are like cracks, or I guess he means like wrinkles in a person's face. So he says, for that you should use cold water in order to cure it, to make it better. Okay? And again, what? The chilufa sakanta, and if you do just the opposite, then it could be dangerous. Okay? You have the top test?
Right.
Then he has another one. He says, chala the siburi. Now we're talking about siburi, and what is siburi? Siburi is, bloodletting. You know, that back in the old days, you know, they used to drain a little bit of blood, you know, when you got sick. So he says, chala, vinegar is good for that. In other words, to have a little vinegar before you have bloodletting. This is what he's trying to say, okay? And particularly, according to Rashi, siburi is bloodletting from the ksefai. In other words, they do it from the shoulder for some reason. Not from the finger, but from the shoulder, okay? Like when you go for a blood test today.
Well, what is that? Whatever it is.
According to Rashi, these are cracks in the human face. In other words, cracks. I suppose he means, like wrinkles or something like that. All right.
Maybe it's good for women.
Okay.
So if you drink vinegar, he says,
is good if you're going to have blood taken. Right.
So suppose you're donating blood
to the wrinkles, he says,
use
cold water.
To the Red Cross.
Right.
If you're donating blood to the Red Cross now, you should be taking vinegar first.
Right.
There you go.
Okay. And he says, Umanine the Taniso. And also, the same thing would be true as far as, if a fast is concerned, that it might be good, to prepare beforehand by drinking some vinegar. Or sakanta, on the other hand, if you don't, you can possibly create a dangerous situation. As I say, not every refu over here I would recommend for my use, but it's interesting to see what ancient medicine looked like. And again, I have to say, they have a lot of practical experience on these things, and it's quite possible that these things helped. What? In all probability, but we didn't get down that far yet.
I want to tell you, we're studying Baruchas, it has the same thing in it.
That is correct. Part of this is the Gemara Baruchas. You're absolutely right. Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right.
What is that?
This means that you also should make use of it if you're going to fast. Or fasting also might be good. I mean,
good.
Right. Yeah.
What?
Vinegar.
Vinegar.
Right.
Isn't it mentioned in the Bible about vinegar?
Yeah, but the Hebrew word for vinegar happens to be chometz. Here we have the Aramaic word, which is chometz. Okay. It has nothing to do with challah that we eat.
What's the reference here to small fish, though? I don't understand that.
We didn't get that far yet.
No, right after vinegar.
All right. So, right after the vinegar. Then he says the following. He says, Tachle, which means cress.
Tachle.
Yeah. People would be shachlayim.
Sibura.
The sibura, then this, we said already that sibura is bloodletting, right?
Yeah.
Sakata. In other words, don't eat cress if you're going to have bloodletting, because it can be dangerous.
These Hebrew words are Aramaic words.
Mostly Aramaic, but many of them have parallels in Hebrew.
Yeah, you know, they sound like Aramaic.
Right, right.
Is that like
cress? Yeah, cress is a certain vegetable.
Like water.
Right. Right.
Like green watercress.
Yeah, watercress.
What is
exactly.
That? It's like
a little green.
Like
the
blue.
It's like grass.
No,
like
no, it looks like little leaves or something like that. Right, right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah, right, right. They go in for that over there. Okay.
Nope.
Ishtavasibura Sagata. He says, and if you have a fever, it does not go well with bloodletting. It's dangerous, okay? Ke'ev Eina, right? If you have an eye ache, right? The Sibura, bloodletting, Sagata. Don't do it.
It's dangerous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dangerous. Okay. Shani the dog. Dumb Shani. Dumb. Dog's the she. Lo sakata.
Dog is a fish.
All right. Right. Now he says the following. He says, you have bloodletting. Don't eat fish that same day, but instead Shani. In other words, the next day, you can eat a piece of fish. Okay? All right. Well, shaking the dog's dumb. This is the way I have to read it, really.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words, okay. In other words, wait till the day after you've eaten fish before you have bloodletting. Okay?
Yeah.
Shaking the dumb dog. But on the other hand, you know, if you have bloodletting, then wait a day before you eat fish. Okay? Shlishi lo sakana. On the other hand, if you eat fish on the third day, there's danger involved. Now, why fish should create a danger on the third day, I'm not altogether sure. But the Torah has one reference, if you remember, about the people of Shechem, that the sons of Jacob said to them, you know, you want to marry our sister Dinah, then you have to undergo circumcision, right? And then it's written that they came to pass on the third day that they were in great pain, and that's when the brothers attacked the people of Shechem, okay? So this is why, for example, according to the Medrash, when was Abraham Avinu visited? Also, it happens to be the third day after his circumcision, according to the, according to the Medrash, because the previous Sedra ends with the story of Bris Milah, right? And then right after that, we have the story about how the angels came to visit Abraham.
So the third day, you know, even after surgery, right, they used to say the third day was like the toughest day.
Right.
Yes, but on the other hand, in the story of Abraham, what is he doing? He's sitting by the tent. As soon as he sees the strangers, he gets up and he starts running around. He runs to to agitate his wife Sarah to, you know, makes like some whatever. Then he runs off to the herd and gets one of his lads to gather. Is he really so much in pain? That's interesting. It's in contrast to people.
Well, let's put it this way. It could very well be that he was in pain, but the minute that he saw an opportunity to perform a mitzvah, that overrode the pain.
Dr. Miller, I read today a commentary I get the one from the chief rabbi in England.
Yeah, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs.
He mentions you said Vayahi, you know, and it came to pass. And
right.
And he points out that wherever in the Torah it says Vayahi, and it came to pass, it's something bad or evil is going to happen.
Well, it's not always, but we had that at the beginning of Megillah, if you remember.
That's what
we learned Megillah.
Well, that's the point
right,
that he's
yeah,
making.
Yeah,
particularly,
right.
it says, Vayehi b'yemei.
Right.
Then you know that you're in for Tzoras
yeah.
over there.
He made that point, which is interesting because
Mithrash.
You begin.
Because Vayehi by itself may or may not be, but when it says Vayehi b'yemei, then you know this Tzoras. As we have that the time of the Megillah
well,
and also the beginning
the
of Ruth begins with the same words.
Why
Ebi Ben Shvot
Nashovti.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, again, I'm just on a writer. Okay. So, Tana Rabbanan. Our sages taught us, Anakiz Dom, Anakiz Dom, Nayuchal Chagbash. If you're going to have blood let, don't eat Chagbash. So what's chagbash? Not hagwash, but don't eat chagbash, okay. Of course, chagbash, he says, is Rosh HaTevis, as we say. Lo cholot, that's the ches, right? Don't drink milk. Lo gevida, don't eat cheese. Lo betzalim, don't eat sibilif. Okay.
What is it for? If you're
going to have bloodletting, these are not good for you. Below shachlaim, again the word you know that I said before is kress. Right. The Hebrew is shachlaim and the Aramaic is tachlaim. Right. Okay. Imochal, and what happens if you did eat them? So what are you going to do? So Abaya said, Neser v'yosud d'chala, says, take a revius. A revius means a quarter of a log. A quarter of a log. Log is a liquid measure. Okay? One quarter of a log of vinegar. By the way, the revius, you know, a kiddush cup is supposed to contain a revius. Okay?
Which is how much?
The size of a kiddush cup.
Yeah, but how much is a revius?
The equivalent would be something like about 4 ounces.
Okay, that's
about
okay.
4 ounces approximately. Right. Okay. Yeah. Depends. I mean, if you have a great big becher, you know. But generally speaking, it's about 4 ounces. Okay. So he says, take a revius of vinegar and a revius of wine. With abavinu, mix them together. Bahalei adoni. Each with each other. Finish that, and then you drink it. Okay? So this is going to counteract the food that you should not have eaten that you did. And
you
I hate to tell you what.
You're thinking
you throw up, but it says, V'chi mefaneh le mefaneh elu mizrocha sho'ir. Then your bowels are going to start in to move, but if you do so, in those days, remember they didn't have indoor plumbing. So he said, go out and make sure that you're to the east so that the wind won't carry the odor into the town. So in other words, I guess they expect big action as a result of this. It's an emetic, you know, or a medic, whichever way you want to pronounce the word.
Wine and vinegar.
Wine and vinegar together. Right, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet it does.
Try it. This was before X-Lax.
It's
right, right? Because the smell, he says, it's really strong. All right, Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi said, Malin Unkele B'Shabbos. You're allowed to raise, in other words, to treat Unkele on Shabbos. So my uncle. So what is uncle? So Rabbi Abba said, "Is tamcha the liba." That means that if you feel something, chest pains or something like that, on Shabbos, or a heart pain, the area of the heart, then in that particular case, that's what uncle is. He says, and you're permitted to treat it on Shabbos. Okay, my asusa. So what can you do? You know, as a remedy for this. So he says, well, all right, Maisa Kamona, which means that you bring some cumin, you know, C-U-M-I-N, right? And let's see what else we have. Yeah. Yeah, it's a spice, you know. Right. Yeah. And Kuruyo, it says Kuruyo is Ki'in Kaf egg roll. In other words, it should be about the size of a fist. Okay? That's what he says. Rashi says that. In other words, take a fistful of cumin. Okay?
Oh, wow. It's a very expensive cumin.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Maybe it grew.
Cumin.
They use it for what?
Well, it's sort of just a Moroccan or
Yemeni. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, right. They use it as a spice, a flavor, right. Yeah. And what else? The Nino, hello, where's Nino? Nino, Rashi says, mint. That's what Rashi says. I don't know what your friend, Mr. Artscroll, says.
What's that?
Yes.
Nino. Rashi says mint.
Nino is mint. Mint.
Mint, yeah. See. Artscroll agrees with Rashi. Okay.
But the next one is a beauty.
Okay. What's the next one?
Doug Donner.
Bye. Okay. Now the next thing, Lagadno, whatever it is. Anyway, Rashi again gives the following translation. He says, Lagadno. He says, it is Asif Marhu. It's a very bitter grass. Behu Merubia. And it comes from. Rubio is what do you call it again? It's sort of like haroses or something like that, you know, to make haroses, okay?
Oh, a cabbage?
No, right. Yeah, but at any rate, Rashi then says that la na, you know. In other words, this is a bitter weed or something like the Targumin. So, in other words, this word means bitter grass. Okay? Bitter grass. Let's see, what's the next one?
Sistre.
Wormwood. Well, as I say, it's a bitter grass. Right. Okay? And Sistre, he says, Sidaria. Well, I'm not quite sure what that is. How did he translate this way over there? What translation did he give it this way?
Isograss.
Who?
Which one?
Sisre.
Savory.
Savory.
Savory. S-A-V-O-R-Y.
Savory, but that would be like a grass.
Yeah.
S-A-T-U-R-K.
What?
S-A-T-U-R-E-R-A.
Sartoria. I hope they know what it is. I don't.
Well, that's like getting a definition with another word that you don't understand.
Well, we're not going to use any of these anyway, so it doesn't
make a difference. This is moss. Okay? Moss. Right.
It's what? Mud?
Moss. M-O-S-S.
Moss. Oh, moss.
Moss, right.
M-O-S-S.
Yeah. It says... Liba. Okay. In other words, I think what he's trying to say is that you apply this to the heart, the chamra mixed with wine. Okay? Apply it, mixed with wine, and it should help, you know, the heart problem. He says, Monoch, and, you know, an easy way to remember it is the Pasuk, the Yayin, Yisamach, Lovel, that you drink wine, it makes the heart of a person happy.
Well, then evidently they want you to take it inside, not outside.
Yeah, okay. On the other hand, the Rucha, what if you have a lot of wind inside? I guess it means, you know, you're burping all the time or something like that. So So he says, Babayo, drink water. B'simanoch, because it's written, the Ruach Lakim, the Spirit of God, or the, you know, the wind of God, Merachefes al Padei Havayim, is hovering on the face of the water. Okay.
Are they talking about flatulence here?
Well, I think so. I think so.
Water is good for that?
Okay.
That's a modern.
Yeah.
Well, it could be hiccups. That would actually make more sense. I don't know what the translation is.
Well, she actually has a slightly different interpretation. He says the Rucho, he says the Shachefes. Shachefes means you feel burning inside because of the wind. So drink this with water, not with the wine, but drink any of these ingredients that we mentioned with the water instead. All right. All right. Now, what's the next one? Okay. Lechudo. If it is, Rashi says, what is lechudo? It says, Holy Isho Yeledes, Mitztanenes al Habashber. A woman is trying to give birth and she feels cold. So what should you give her in order to make her feel better? Give her beer. Shikra. Okay? Shikra is any strong drink which is not wine. Okay? Could be beer, it could be a schnapps, at least. That's your shikra. Okay. And obviously, if a woman is having birth pangs or something like that, it helps to ease a little bit. What?
Like
how do you know?
Without going into
how do you know?
The,
how do you know? Did you try it?
Alcohol do something to the blood vessels.
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe doing something to the blood vessels
right.
is good.
In I have a story right on that subject. My brother and I, my mother was pregnant. Twice a year.
Hold on. Very good. Little soul shows you that the Gemara knew it all the time.
Well, you think about it, you have a little bit of alcohol to dilate the vessels, but not enough to make you maybe dizzy.
The Simonach, he says, and an easy way to remember this one is the Chada al Shechma. The Chada obviously is related to Kudo, right? Right? So in other words, have this, you know, if you're giving birth, al Shechma, the Shechma looks something like Shechar, because it begins with the first two letters. So that therefore, you know, by a mnemonic device, so you'll remember that this is a good remedy for it. Rav Acha b'rei d'rova, shechik lei l'chul b'hadei hadodri. So Rav Acha, the son of Rava, decided to mix them all together. He ground them all together. The shakel lei, and then he took it, melei chamesh etzbei seha. Literally five fingers worth. In other words, he took, you know, like a fistful of this medication, and he drank it. Apparently it helped. Rav Ashi, Shechi Kelchad V'chad L'chudei. He ground each one separately, right? And the Shekel Malei Etzboi, right? Rabosi Malei Etzboi Zutrisi. And also, he took a finger's worth for a large amount.